Prepare yourselves, Bucs fans. Unleashed from the corporate shackles of the Tampa Tribune, Tampa Bay's only Pro Football Hall of Fame voter is finally free to speak his mind. That's Ira Kaufman, the custodian of Canton himself. The Ira Kaufman podcast is presented exclusively by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa on Fletcher, just west of 275, and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, Brandon's only luxury dealership. The best ever summer sale event is on now at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Turn up the volume, put up your feet. The Ira Kaufman podcast is on at JoeBucksFan.com.
Training camp's underway. It's been fun soaking in the team with Ira Kaufman, the custodian of Canton, who, of course, is here on the podcast named after him, the Ira Kaufman podcast on JoeBucksFan.com. Ira, flat out, man, what are you seeing? What's your vibe on this team, your take? We've looked at three practices now. What are you feeling?
I see a little crispness, particularly on offense, and it's not surprising. First thing you look at, they're practicing in the morning. Wow, this is not a genius at work. This is what 31 other franchises do. But no, we were going at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Oh, we got to simulate when the regular season starts. This goes against all common sense. Now, they're off the field at 11, 11:30. Rain's going to be less of a factor. So that goes directly towards crispness. What I think is even more important, Joe, is more comfortability with this offense, with the nomenclature. A lot of the same guys are back. Almost everybody's back. There's not a lot of jobs to be won on the offensive side of the ball. We'll see what happens at left guard. We'll see what happens at now, slot receiver. I see guys who are thinking less on offense and operating in a more crisp fashion.
Now, going to that crisp nature, so you feel you're seeing it. Now, I saw you also talking today with quarterbacks coach Mike Bajakian. I'm not asking you for off-the-record information, but I know you got a relationship there. Are you getting that feel from him as well as far as an evolution of a speed and crispness to the offense that's letting the team go to another level?
Well, Joe, obviously I was talking to Bajakian specifically about the development of Jameis Winston. He can't stop smiling. Jason Light can't stop smiling. Quite frankly, Dirk Cutter can't stop smiling. Look, a lot of quarterbacks take a little bit of a tumble in year two. Cam Newton might be the latest example. I don't think it's going to happen here. I really don't. If anything, I think Winston's work ethic's kind of been reinforced over the summer. He comes in better shape. I think that's another example of his dedication. So from Winston's standpoint, the Bucs couldn't be more pleased. A year ago at this time, we didn't know quite what the Bucs had. Is he a bust? Is he a franchise quarterback? Those questions, while not totally answered, have been answered to a certain degree. So I just think you're seeing a more mature leader on offense. And one more thing, Joe, is when things do break down, which they will in training camp, there's more accountability by Dirk Cutter. Now, part of it could be, you know, hey, Cutter doesn't have a long honeymoon, gentlemen. We've seen what happened to the last two head coaches. After 13 years between Dungy and Gruden, there's been a marked change. The last three coaches, actually, but two in particular. And Cutter's no dummy. He knows what's going on. He's got to show a lot of progress in the fall of 2016. He doesn't have a lot of time, Lee, to turn this thing around.
Well, what I thought was interesting in what you said, to reinforce that a little bit, about the energy and working in mornings. And they also have walkthrough at nights. They have temporary lights set up where they do walkthroughs at night. I was talking to DeMar Dotson today, and there's a couple different things I asked him. But I asked him about, hey, what do you think about the night walkthroughs? And he goes, oh, my gosh, this is so great. We're practicing in the morning. We're doing walkthroughs at night. The coaches are looking out for us. We got to do our end of the bargain and make sure we get the job done on the field because they're looking out for us. I'm like, wow, that's interesting.
And that's the longest tenured Buck, at least.
Yeah, right. He mentioned something about this is the most energy I've seen around here in a long time. And my response was, well, you would know. Now, another thing Dotson said that I thought was interesting, it's related to Jameis. You know, and I said, well, tell me about this energy you're experiencing, this new vibe here. And he's like, oh, the young guys. He goes, the guys that bring energy to practice. He goes, Jameis and Quan Alexander. And then he said Gerald, as in Gerald McCoy. I've never heard that before. Now, remember, Jameis had his famous sit down with McCoy. And depending on who you speak with, McCoy suggested he pass the baton to Jameis as the team leader. I've never heard anybody say Gerald brings energy to practice before.
And regarding that Christmas, Ira, and the offense evolving, really what you're saying is organically with Dirk Koetter, second year, yes. Jameis more on his plate, more accountability, less coddling. Not that Jameis was coddled, but hey, more of a mature offense. If that's the case, which we all believe it is, what's the X factor then? We didn't really have additions here on offense in anything that anybody would consider significant. What's the X factor to make the offense that much better?
Well, Steve, I would argue with you that you might be creating an X factor where they got 6,000 yards worth of X factor last year. And with Vincent Jackson missing a good portion of the season and an offensive line that the three of us were ready to run George Warhop out of town, let's be honest,
yep.
After 2014. All of a sudden, he comes back, the same guy, brings two rookies, start, except for that three-game spot with Marpet. They started, took every snap, especially Donovan Smith. And by the way, Donovan Smith, in the grand scheme of things, I think he's been overlooked a little bit.
I think so, too.
He did one heck of a job protecting that blind side. I know Jameis got hit a lot, but he was sacked 27 times. That is not a big number in this league. So as far as your X factor, you know, Kenny Bell could be an X factor. Cameron Brate taking the tight end spot could be an X factor. But I just think they had one heck of a running game. I don't think there's a better running back tandem in this league than your men right here in Martin and Sims.
You can make that argument.
I believe what Koetter did with Sims, and it's an upcoming column on Joe Buck's Fan, was nothing short of spectacular last season.
I think that's called a tease in some circles.
That's a tease.
Well, actually, you know, in the podcast world, we can actually say that your column has already run, I believe, and if not, it's running on Monday.
It's going to run on Monday.
So you'll either see it on the page right now, today,
when
or
when you look at how many
tomorrow.
Touches Charles Sims had last season and what he produced, it was rather remarkable.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And he brought a screen pass back to Tampa,
yes.
where guys like us hadn't seen it in about 10 years.
Speaking, we're here live at training camp, actually in the hallowed walls of One Buck Palace. They're allowing us to do our thing here. We are no longer in
You're
the...
You're missing lunch, man. And when the Kemper comes back, everything's going to be gone. He's going to be upset.
We're not in the Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa showroom. We're not at Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. We're actually in the hallowed halls of One Buck Palace here. Thanks to Jeff Ryan for getting us set up here in the... he's the chief of Buccaneers Broadcasting. But Ira, let's flip to the defense. You've been watching practice for a few days. What's standing out for you?
I see some hard hits out there, Steve. Now look, this is underwear football. Mm-hmm. I'll say it before Joe says it. Underwear football. But at a certain point, the pads are going to come out. Look, there's jobs to be won, and I said there's not much uncertainty, as far as I'm concerned, on the offensive side of the ball. There's a lot of uncertainty on the defensive side. Where does Vernon Hargraves fit? I think ultimately he's going to be the slot cornerback. And people say, well, wait a minute, you got to get your number one pick. He's going to be on the field 70 or 75%.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way football has evolved. Mm-hmm. That's the modern day of
mm-hmm.
football. Three wide receivers almost all the time. Third downs, he's going to be out there all the time. You're going to see plenty of Vernon Hargraves. Mm-hmm. You've got Werner and Banks feeling they are born again with, you know, a chance to display their skills under Mike Smith. And what I like the most, and I've said it before, Steve, I'm going to say it all year long, the hiring of Mike Smith was critical. Two reasons. One, he has a proven track record as a defensive coordinator. People say, oh, the Falcons' defense was rather ordinary towards the end. It was. Two things. One, they drafted terribly, the Atlanta Falcons. That's not on Mike Smith. That's on Dimitroff, whose job is hanging by a thread right now. And two, he was the head coach. He wasn't in charge of the defense.
He delegated authority.
So by Koetter hiring him, a guy that he has total trust and faith in, allows Koetter to keep his focus on where it should be, the continued development of Jameis Winston and this offense. And if he had a guy he was unfamiliar with running that defense, there would be a great temptation, Coach, to wander over to that side of the ball, and that's not going to happen this year.
Well, I'm going to back you up with that. Pardon me, with a couple stories. My apologies. I know a guy who does national radio. He's very tight with Mike Smith, someone you know. I won't mention his name because when he told me this, it was not for public consumption. He said, Mike's, and he told me this back in Super Bowl Media Day. I talked to this guy. He said, Mike Smith is so fired up, it's unbelievable. And someone who works within these walls, he's not a coach, but he works within, he's a suit. He told me around that same time, very much the same thing. He said, Smith is coming in here before dawn, him and his coaches, and they're in that cave. They're hibernating, and they don't leave till after dark. They were just so fired up. And I remember the story that John Lynch told me when he had his press conference that he was going to be inducted into the Ring of Fame this fall. And Lynch had told me during that after the press conference, he said, yeah, Mike Smith invited me to come in and sit in the coaches' meeting, and they were picking my brains. Mike Smith's one of these guys. He's not chained to a specific scheme or philosophy. His philosophy is, I'm going to put the players in. I'm going to put their players in position to get the most out of their talents. I'm not going to put a guy into a position that I know he won't succeed. And I think that is a more than a breath of fresh air.
And Joe, along those lines, guess who is sitting there looking like he's going to benefit the most out of anybody from this Mike Smith regime? The guy that I wrote about the other day on Joe Bucks Fan, Lavonte David. I'm not saying Lavonte David hasn't been a good player for the last two seasons, but he hasn't been the player we saw in 2013. This guy is an effective pass rusher. We haven't seen that. And Mike Smith is going to take advantage of that.
In that area, as far as Lavonte's pass rushing and his overall ability there, he was neutered by Lovie Smith's defense and what he was asked to do, and it didn't suit his talents.
Derrick Brooks didn't rush the passer, but this is Lavonte David. He's a little bit different.
This is a new era.
Yeah, you can't tell me, you know, when the Glazers sat down and looked at the pros and cons of keeping Lovie or jettisoning him, you can't tell me that was not a factor. Like, wait a minute, this guy shined under Schiano, and everybody thought Schiano was a joke. Well, here Lovie Smith is supposedly, you know, one of these great defensive wizards.
Coach.
Yeah, great defensive wizard, a linebackers coach, and he regressed. Not like you said, he was good, but he wasn't top shelf.
All right, Ira. Bottom line, Mike Smith, yes, he's working long hours.
And by the way, one of the reasons he's working long hours, he wants to be a head coach, Steve.
Yeah, well,
and there's nothing wrong with that.
I'll say this. The long hours, they don't impress me. I don't know any coach in the NFL that you know, worked short hours. That was Dungy's
M.O. Except Father Dungy.
Dungy's M.O. was you got to have time for family, and he worked shorter days, 12-hour days or 10-hour days.
Which you got from Dennis Green, if I recall correctly.
And Bruce Arians is very big on family first. Yes. You need a few days off, take a few days
off.
And
he's won a few games.
And he's won plenty of games. So, that's just all – to me, that's just, you know, pie in the sky kind of stuff. But what we have here from Mike Smith is a guy who's going to be getting Gerald McCoy, Pro Bowler in his prime, Lavonte David, Pro Bowler in his prime. A lot of Bucks fans may not want to admit it, but those guys potentially are potential Hall of Famers. They're not just casual Pro Bowlers. They got a long way to go, but they're in that caliber. And you got Brent Grimes, who has shown tons of athleticism on this practice field and training camp, and he's at the other level. So you got three guys in their prime, superstar caliber players. Mike Smith has got to get something out of these guys, way more than we saw last year. And there's plenty of veteran talent on this defense as well. So it's exciting. And
One guy that never gets talked about, Joe, is Bradley McDougald. A few years ago, they were saying, you know, he's got some John Lynch qualities. Now, that's always dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
But
unfair.
I didn't notice Bradley McDougald last year. I didn't notice him.
He made one play against the Cowboys late in the game, I think.
He's got to be more visible. He's got to make some plays.
He does. On the McDougal front, we'll leave it at this. He is a Schiano man, picked up off the street, and now he's really the number one safety, and it just goes to show this team can add some depth at safety off the street, which I think might be a good idea for this team potentially.
I think so, too.
But you know what? You have some homework, Custodian, when you go to Canton later this week, which you're going up there for the big Father Dungy induction. You're going to see John Lynch there. You ask him about Bradley McDougal. Yeah, and you get into that with him, and I want a column on my desk next week.
Here's what I want to know.
Thank you, teacher. Thank you, professor.
All right, we're going to wrap up the Ira Kaufman podcast. As always, it's been fun. Do your homework, Custodian.
Catch you next time.
You've been listening to the Ira Kaufman podcast on JoeBucksFan.com, brought to you by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon.